and it takes you step by step into instructing a child, what does God's Word say? And I think you will find it extremely helpful. It is item number 4414. Our Father's Word and what it is He would have us gain. And He stated, as we covered in a lecture a short time ago, He wants your love, not your sacrifices. But there's a second part to that that we need to cover in more depth also. And that is to say, He wants you to have His knowledge instead of burnt offerings. That's really what He wants. And that's very, very important. For you must learn, first of all, where does knowledge come from? What kind of knowledge is He talking about? Well, as always, He makes it very clear in His Word. And without that knowledge, that is to say God's knowledge, it's impossible to be successful in life and obtain peace of mind. And you could be as successful as you want to be, but if you don't have peace of mind, I'm sorry, you missed the boat. You missed everything. Because given the choice of peace of mind and not to have the riches of the world, I'll take peace of mind always. Because if you've got what you need to survive and you have peace of mind, you have eternal life. What much more could one ask for? But you see, God's promise is this. That if you attain wisdom and if you attain knowledge, he's going to give you a good life. So it is for that reason that it's important, very important, that you have the knowledge of God and know how to dig for it, to attain it. Because after you have it, he's going to give you things that maybe you don't even feel you deserve, but he'll still pile on. Because he loves an obedient child. Now, those are big words, big promises, but they're not mine. They're your Father's. But first, you must attain that knowledge. So, the foundation of that, I feel, is right here in the sixth chapter of Hosea. Hosea meaning salvation, meaning that's how you attain salvation. Is through the Savior, of course. Hosea chapter 6, verse 1, and it reads, "Come and let us return unto the Lord, for he hath torn, and he will heal us. He hath smitten, and he will bind us up." Sometimes our Father must, because he loves you, he's going to thump your gourd occasionally. And the further you pull away, the harder he's going to thump it. I mean, that's, hey, you can count on it. If he doesn't thump your gourd, then he doesn't love you, and you're really in bad shape. So, but he will always, when you return to him, he will heal it. I don't care if it's financial, physical, mental, spiritual. Whatever the sickness, whatever the weakness, however it was he corrected you, it will be fixed. Because he can cut it. He can get it done. Verse 2, "After 2 days will he revive us, and in the third day he will raise us up, and we shall live in his sight." Now, deeper students, you should know what that means. How long do the two witnesses lie in the streets of Jerusalem before we are raised up into a new body? 3 days and plus. So he's fixing the time. It's the end time. Especially when he's going to raise us up. But you don't have to wait till then. You can participate even now. I don't know. It's your choice. Hey, how you been doing? All right? It's up to you. Verse 3. then shall we know if that's that big old word again, if we follow on to know. Do you know what to know is? That's knowledge. To know the Lord, His going forth is prepared as the morning. It's as sure as the day is long, as sure as the sun comes up every morning. It's prepared if you're not too stubborn to step into it. And He shall come unto us as the rain, as the latter and former rain unto the earth. Do you know what the former and the latter rain do? The former rain sprouts the grain, and the latter rain develops into a luscious crop. That means success, friend. That means He'll give you the whole ball of wax. He will give you what it is you need. I've threatened and I've chastised them by the words of my mouth. I spoke, tried to get their attention, just like you would a naughty child, okay? By the words of my mouth, and thy judgments are as the light that goeth forth. In other words, God's judgments on you are just as sure as the sun's going to come up and it's going to go down. There may be days you may not think the sun goes up, but I guarantee you, you get in the prop jet and put her in climb mode, and pretty soon you're in sunlight. I don't care how dark it is on this earth. That sun comes up every morning, okay? 6. For I desired mercy, that's to say love. Now understand this. God is speaking from His heart to your heart. I desire, I want. Desire can even be translated crave. I crave your love. Man, He cares about you. Why shouldn't He? You're His child. He created you for His pleasure. So naturally, He wants your love. And He doesn't want it to be like some morning cloud that just, it's gone every time the sun hits it. Sometimes little hard times hit it and forget it, God. I got a scratch, okay? and not sacrifice. I wanted your love and not your sacrifice. What's more important to God? Your personal love for Him. Now, we covered that in a recent lecture. Now comes this lecture. And the knowledge, you underline this in your mind, and the knowledge of God more than, I repeat, more than means greater. Greater than burnt offerings. So you see how important, well, how do I get the knowledge of God? He said, just prior to this, I wonder if you have faith in Him. He said, I told you through the prophets. You know, I don't know. How do we go about it? Well, it doesn't take a smart person to know. We got to go to the Word to get it. Okay? So if He told it through them, you could attain it there. And we're going to go there in a little bit. Verse 7, listen carefully. Now, He's already put two or three very deep plowing items in this, like the three-day period there of the two witnesses. Letting the deeper scholar or student or person know what period we're talking about, then sharpen up for me for the rest of this. 7. But they, like men, or like old Adam as an example, have transgressed the covenant. What covenant? The one God made with us. There have they dealt treacherously against me. That means they just really, you know, you're not supposed to have any God before you other than our Father, but they, like the traditions of men, dream up little things to worship. If you do this, and if you do that, and if you don't do this, and if you don't do that, what has that got to do with loving God? If you walk His path, you don't even have to worry about those things too, right? You're not going to be out in the boonies anyway. You stayed on the path. 8, sharpen up for me. Gilead is a city of them that work iniquity and is polluted with blood. In other words, it was a city of refuge. It was where when someone had an accident and bumped a neighbor off, and it wasn't a criminal act, was sent to this city of refuge for safety, and they killed him. If you try to find a little protection in this place and forget it. Okay? Also, it's where there was a priest school here, prophet school, preacher school, reverend school. They didn't do too good there. Why? They didn't stick with the Word of God. I'll document that here in a moment. Verse 9. And as troops of robbers. No, they weren't my people. They were as bad as bandits. But wait for a man, so the company of priests murder in the way by consent, for they commit lewdness. In other words, they sin worse than anyone else. That word lewdness in the Hebrew is a crackerjack. Boy, I mean, you can't get much worse than that. That's the preachers, my friend. Now, the deeper study for you is the word consent in the Hebrew is shechem. And it means the backbone, and it goes all the way back to Genesis Atash, which is the backbone of this body, when old Adam fell a little short. Right? In other words, your tree is your trunk, and your arms are your limbs. They get involved. And that's the deeper thought in this for the Hebrew student, okay? They do it with consent. That's very mild compared to what you can dig out of this. They put their backs to the wheel to break it to pass, ripping off people. Let's do something religious and pass the plate, shall we? You know, things of that nature, but mostly traditions that turn away from God's Word and will deceive and lead you astray. Verse 10. I have seen an horrible thing in the house of Israel. There is the whoredom of Ephraim. Israel is defiled. Shechem was the city, no doubt, where Jeroboam first put the golden calves and told them to worship them. That's the horrible thing, is worshiping something other than God. And if you think it isn't done to this day, you're mistaken. anything you put between you and God is an idol to you. I don't care if it's your business, if it's your habits, or if it's your hobbies. If it comes before God, I'm sorry, you're an idol worshiper in God's eyes. So it's pretty easy to put God first. If you, you know, why not put God first with your love and obedience and be where you can really afford nice hobbies, good hobbies, expensive toys, okay? Now that shouldn't be the reason you do it. But God plays favorites when it comes to blessing His children. In other words, He doesn't believe in blessing those that don't love Him, that don't seek His knowledge. He doesn't bless them. I've heard people that have attended church, I've tithed all my life and God never seems to bless me, and they're tithing to someone that's a teaching flyaway and grab Satan and love him, and they want God's blessing? Really? Israel is defiled. Verse 11. Also, O Judah, he hath set an harvest for thee when I return the captivity of my people. A harvest of what? Chastisement. So it's going to happen. What's going to happen to Judah? Well, you know where those 3 days are going to happen. In Judah. In Jerusalem. When the Antichrist sits there. So, what did he say? I want you to have my knowledge. That was God speaking. The knowledge of God. It would be absolutely impossible. I don't want to depress you before we even start. But know this first of all, coming out the gate. No one could have the knowledge of God completely. Not in these flesh bodies. Because he's too deep. And I've mentioned a couple of those depths even in this one little chapter. That's a different subject for a different time. That you can see what God is saying totally on a different level. And all the meat from it. Well, there are levels we haven't discovered yet, friend. I don't care how long you've studied. God's Word is pregnant and it continues to grow and grow and grow. But first of all, there must be a beginning. So you've got to go back to the first principle of knowledge. Before you can pick that knowledge of God up. We don't care about any other type of knowledge right at this time. It's wonderful to have it. It's wonderful to be knowledgeable of the world whereby you can be more intelligent than those of the world. Whereby you can make it in this world. But your number one knowledge comes from God or you're really not going to make it big in this world and have peace of mind. Naturally, those hidden things is where you find the truth. And I'm speaking of the rules of the road. Do you know what that is? Proverbs. Proverbs means the rules of the road for those that follow God. Didn't he say, those that walk in my way, his way is the road. The rules of the road are proverbs, so turn there with me. Proverbs chapter 1. The rules that govern life. I mean, if you have a trouble and if you have problems in your life, you can always find the answer in part right here in good old Proverbs. So, but you have to use a little wisdom. So the first thing coming out the gate to gain as much knowledge of God as we can, we have to learn how to do it. He tells us, chapter 1, verse 1. The Proverbs, that's the rules of the road or of life, whether it applies to civil, religious, or business. You want to be popular in your business? Proverbs will teach you how to be a moneymaker. And I know many might say, that sounds sacrilegious. No, I'm stating the true fact. Proverbs tells you how to be successful in business, or hey, if you don't believe it, have a good time. Okay? But it does. Alright. Verse 2. I'm sorry. The Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel. Verse 2. to know wisdom and instruction to perceive the words of understanding. Many people fall short. It is that they will not accept instruction. And if you miss instruction, you misunderstanding. A lot of us country people call it horse sense. You know, I don't know how many of you know what horse sense is. Some of you call it common sense. But, you know, sometimes horses have so much more sense than people do. I'd prefer to use horse sense. All right? Verse 3. To receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, and judgment, and equity. That is to say, what is right? To know right from wrong. Now, let me tell you something. You were born, and when you're born in a Christian family and you accept Christ, intuitively you know right from wrong. But now, people of the world will deceive you with their traditions whereby maybe they'll cloud your judgment. And you'll say, well, the majority couldn't be wrong. They could. So you better go by the Word of God and learn how to use judgment for yourself. And the only way you can do that is to have the wisdom that God gives you through the rules of the road. Verse 4. To give subtlety, that's prudence, to the simple, to the young man knowledge and discretion. You know, knowledge is a beautiful thing, but you've got to be discreet in how you utilize it. When? Where? You know, if you were the wisest person in the world, you wouldn't want to offend someone with that wisdom, would you? You wouldn't really truly be wise if you did. It isn't important to document how much you know. It's better to have the knowledge and instruct on the level that you're supposed to instruct to reach the person or people you're instructing. 5. A wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsel. I mean, if you want to, that's common sense. Now, there's a spit and chew corner right down here. I'm going to tell you what, you can go down there early in the morning and you can draw free advice. All the advice in the world you want, you can get it answered right there. But do you know what it's worth? Spit and chew. Worth nothing. Why would you go down to the spit and whittle and chew corner when you've got God's Word? Misery loves company? Is that what causes it? I don't know. But I don't care what your business is. Let's say if I'm a boy, they raise a lot of chickens here in Northwest Arkansas. Well, if I was an Idaho farmer, I wouldn't go down here to the Spit and Chew Club and ask about raising chickens. Oh, they'd tell you, you're going to get your feet dirty. You know, they don't know how to keep a house clean even. You know, you got to teach chickens manners. Okay. Anyway. No, you would go to the man that makes more money and raises the best chickens in the county and say, sir, could you just help me explain how you do this? And hey, they will. We got some of the friendliest people. You seek advice and counsel from somebody that knows. That's business. Now, if it's spiritual, you can't find a better place than God's Word, and naturally then you go to a pastor who teaches chapter by chapter and verse by verse and should be gifted. You know, that's up to the Father, of course. But be careful where you receive counsel from, okay? And 5, a wise man will hear. That's important. I want to cover this again just a little bit. And will increase learning. You got to listen before you can learn. And a man of understanding shall attain into wise counsel. A man that understands a little bit recognizes wisdom when he hears it. All right? And he knows foolishness when he hears it. Smile. Don't insult them. Just smile and go on. They got a right to be ignorant. Okay? If they're really set in their ways, just grin and go on about your business. Maybe they'll mature someday. Who knows? Sometimes you run across people that think they know everything, and really, if you ask them, they do, okay? But I'd be careful about their counsel if it gets outside of their field of specialty. Six, to understand a proverb and the interpretation. Now, this is really important, beloved. You've got to know how to interpret God's Word, because Proverbs means it's hidden a little bit. The words of the wise and their dark sayings, that means secret sayings. Now, this is one of the most important verses in God's Word. Verse 7. The fear, that is to say, reverence. You write it, if you must, in your margin. It means to revere. Do you know what that is? It's love. And remember back to Hosea 6, where he said, your mercy, love. I want your love, but I want you to have the knowledge of God. Do you know why? If you don't have the knowledge of God, he can't use you a whole lot. Or he can say, look at my pretty thing over there. They believe, but they don't know how to do spit. They don't even know how to whittle. You've got to know what God's plan is before you can help him. Doesn't that make sense? That's common sense, my friend. So, the love of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. But fools despise wisdom and instructions. They're not going to listen. Now, I planted a seed the other day, and that person just turned their nose up. Well, hey, wise up. God doesn't want a fool just yet. Okay? And you're not bigger than God. God doesn't want them yet. But a wise person will listen. Now, this is the first principle of wisdom that I just read to you. First principle of wisdom is the love of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Why? It's common sense. If you love him, if somebody really loves you, and they seek a certain thing, knowledge, wisdom, help, you're probably going to give it to them. I mean, that's just nature. So it is with God. That's the beginning. If you love him, that's the first step. Of all the gifts, charity is the best, okay? You read that in the New Testament in the book of Hebrews. So loving your father is the beginning of knowledge, because he's going to lay it on you. He's going to help you if you love him. And let him know it. Don't make a secret out of that. And don't be like the old boy that never... Him and his wife had been married for 55 years, and she came in for counseling and said, he just never tells me that he loves me. Called in the old man, and I told her 55 years ago I loved her, and if I change my mind, she'll be the first to know. Okay? So... don't be like that with your father. Let him know. Communicate. Just like you would communicate with your mate. Communicate and let God know that you love him. And he will pour knowledge and understanding. He will open your mind up, however small it is, okay? Like some of us. He just pries it open and just packs in information and knowledge. And he'll say, well, why don't I just bless them? They're working on that. It's a success. Hey, it's that easy, my friend, if you want to work at it. And work is fun when God blesses it, believe me. I'm a living example of that. But a fool won't listen. And a fool doesn't approve of wisdom. And, hey, speaking of wisdom, now that we have the principle of how to gain wisdom, go with me to the 8th chapter. And this is going to be so elementary, so basic to this group. But occasionally it does thee good to get back to basics. Occasionally it does thee good to stop and think for a moment, where that you get all of your ducks in a row and receive God's blessings and cast off that that hasn't worked for you, okay? Wisdom is speaking here. If you want wisdom, listen to what wisdom says. Right? Again, I want to say that because you're going to miss a lot if you don't understand that fact. You must rightly learn to divide the Word of God. To divide means to pay attention to who it is written to, who is talking, and what they're really saying. So this is wisdom speaking, and wisdom is speaking to you. All right? Got it? Verse 1. Doth not wisdom cry, and understanding put forth her voice? In other words, they're not hidden. Wisdom just cries out to you. She wants you to take her. She wants you to grab her. 2. She standeth in the top of high places, by the way, in the places of the paths. That path you walk for Almighty God, she's everywhere along it. And she's crying out, I want to help you. Listen to me. I want to help you. All right? Verse 3. She cries at the gates. That's at judgment places she cries out. At the entry of the city, at the coming in, at the door. She's everywhere if you'll take hold. Or you can be dumb. It's up to you. You're the chooser. 4. Unto you, O men, I call, and my voice is to the sons of man, Adam. I don't know, can you hear when wisdom calls, she's talking, listen to her. O ye simple, now that might, some of you might get your dandruff up there, relax, I'll translate it properly for you. It means unsuspecting. O ye unsuspecting. In other words, if you don't know God's plan, you don't know what's going to happen, and you're not expecting it. So that's you. You're the unexpecting one. All right? O ye simple, unsuspecting one, understand wisdom, and ye fools, be ye of an understanding heart. Please open your mind and listen, is what he's saying here. Verse 6. Hear, or listen, for I will speak of excellent things, and the opening of my lips shall be right things. You can trust it. It's truth. It's not traditions of men. 7. For my mouth shall speak truth, and wickedness is an abomination in my lips. God hates that Satan would foster as traditions and bring into a group like Jeroboam would worship calves and insist that the people do it. He wasn't a king. He was a pretender, though he was the last so-called king of Israel, the house. But God didn't recognize him as a king. Why? He wouldn't make a wart on a king's toe, okay? Because of what he did. He fell out of the way and he was stupid. There was no wisdom in him, okay? Now, I'm not, you know, that's, if you listen to wisdom, you can readily, that's not judging, it's just a fact, all right? Anybody that will tell their people to worship 2 golden calves, it always makes me wonder, really, did the reason he took their gold and built the calves is because maybe he wanted their gold to start out with? You know, I mean, really. Am I suspicious? Well, I'm not a fool, I hope. Not on some things. Verse 8. All the words of my mouth are in righteousness. In other words, righteousness. In other words, God speaks to you, it is right. You don't have to worry about God trying to trick you. There is nothing forward, that's to say twisted or crafty, or perverse, evil, in them. 9. They are all plain to him that understandeth, and right to them that find knowledge. Knowledge is so important, beloved. Knowledge of this world. How many world ages were there? What is God's plan? You all know that. And you'd better thank your Father for opening your mind to it, because there are very few people that do. And you learned that from her, that is to say, wisdom, because you listened. 10. Receive my instruction. Remember, it's wisdom speaking. Receive my instruction, and not silver. And knowledge, rather than choice gold. Do you know why? Some might say, well, I'd rather have the gold. No, someone stupid like that, they can't hang on to the gold because somebody's going to rip them off before they get around the corner. But if you're wise, God will give you the gold when He's ready and when you're ready. God only allows you in your life what you're qualified to take care of. You know, I really offend some people when I say that, but I'll say it again. God only gives us what we're wise enough to take care of. All right? It's just that simple, period. 11. For wisdom is better than rubies. It's more valuable. And all the things that may be desired are not to be compared to it. You know, wisdom to know how many world ages there are, to know a millennium is coming and that our God is fair and that everyone's going to be taught, and the fact that He chooses some and they have known since they were little children there was more to God's Word. Intuitively, that wisdom was present. But wisdom is like the muscles in your arm. It's got to be exercised, or it kind of looks like, well, it won't look like that. Okay. I'm just seeing if you're awake, all right? You've got to exercise in your mind, all right? And wisdom will do that for you, all right? When you exercise your wisdom, your mind, into thought and salvage, okay, it's more valuable. Verse 12. I, wisdom. Boy, this documents who's speaking. Does it not? Take hold of that. I, wisdom. Hey, you want some of it? Listen. I, wisdom, dwell. This is where she lives. With prudence. And find out knowledge of witty inventions. This is to say, I, wisdom, dwell in such a way that I can discover anything that might be a little bit witty or an invention that may not be according to God's plan. What it really says to you is intuitively, you know the difference. That's what He gives you for free when you seek wisdom. You know already when you see and look upon it, whoa, take a closer look, something's wrong. Okay? You ever had that feeling? I know you have. You know, when you hear, we've got a brand new washing machine and we're going to give it to you for $50 and we're going to throw a free dryer in with it. Whoa. There are no free rides in this world. Something is wrong. Okay? So don't take your checkbook or your credit card to that place, because there's a catch. And intuitively, you already know that, see? So wisdom does that for you. And intuitively, you're aware. Verse 13, the fear, the reverence, the love of the Lord is to hate evil. This lets you know really how easy it is, see, if you'll stop and think on this just a little bit. To love God causes you automatically to hate evil, so you're sure not going to participate in it, right? Pride and arrogancy and the evil way and the froward, that's to say the deceitful, corrupting mouth, do I hate. Wisdom just hates a corruptive, deceitful mouth. Now, what about people that falsely teach? Now, you heard what God said about those preachers, that there's supposed to be a city there where they're saved, and the priests kill them after they get there, the preachers of God's Word. My friends, that is so true that it hurts you when you look out at our brothers and sisters and realize the severity of false teaching. We know, and thank God for the millennium, that there will be a chance, an opportunity, for all to know the truth. But God's not happy. And can you understand now? I mean, think about that thought a minute. The evil way, false teachings, his feelings back in Hosea 6 about a false preacher and a false way to... Somebody's supposed to have salvation and they end up leading them to Satan's bunk. You know? Hey, that's sad. Really sad. And he wants you, naturally, of all times in the world, for you to say, Father, I love you. I'm trying. Grant me wisdom. Grant me knowledge and understanding. Because that's what he wants. He doesn't want your material things. He doesn't want your burnt offerings, the best out of your herd. He wants you. 14. Counsel is mine. You don't want to listen to anyone but wisdom. You understand? Counsel is mine and sound wisdom. I am understanding. I have strength. And if you hold on to those things, you always will have that strength. And much of it intuitively, as I forestated. 15. By me, kings reign, and princes decree justice. Now, automatically, you know, there's some people that are dumb enough to say, well, I've known some kings that certainly weren't that way. No, you didn't. They weren't a king. They weren't a prince. They were a pretender. You got the difference? There's a big difference. And somebody that's real and somebody that pretends. All that are truly a king or a prince, do it God's way. Then you can say, there is a king, or there is a prince, or there is a princess. Verse 60. By me princes rule, and nobles, even all the judges of the earth. Again, the same thing. I know there are many who might say, oh, boy, that judge wasn't. No, he wasn't a judge, friend. Or he would have been righteous. He's a pretender. He's taking a check to wear a robe. And if he doesn't practice justice, then maybe you'll get to judge that turkey someday. Okay? It's written in Ezekiel chapter 44, verse 25, 6, and 7. All right? 17, I love them that love me. Now stop and think about that. Love attracts. Do you want wisdom? Do you want to know how to attract wisdom? Do you want me to read it to you again? Wisdom speaking, I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. No ifs, no ands, no buts. You seek her, God will guarantee you that you'll attain her. That's powerful, my friend. Well, does that mean like tonight? Mushrooms grow up overnight and they're not worth too much. It takes time, my friend. Time. And enjoy every minute of it, because there's nothing as pleasurable. Well, a lot of things are not as pleasurable as finding wisdom, okay? 18, riches and honor are with me. Now, let that soak in. Somebody might say, well, I'll take the gold every time. No, listen to this. Riches and honor are with me. Yea, durable riches are righteousness. Never apologize for being wealthy if it's with God's blessings. All right? You don't have to be ashamed of God's blessings. You can enjoy them. Why? Well, there are different kind of riches. If the person chooses the gold and is void of wisdom, they're not going to have it long. They're going to poop it off. You know what that means? One way or the other. They're just not going to hang on to it, all right? But if you've got wisdom, it sticks to you. Did you hear what I said? If you've got wisdom, it sticks to you, the better things in life, because it's drawn, it's attracted to you. And that's God's promise, and you can count on it. All right? Again, this ministry is living proof of it. You know, how many little old churches in Northwest Arkansas are on 225 paid television stations, has its own satellite, and goes around the world by short wave. Do you think we did it? We worked at it, but God caused it. Why? Because of wisdom. Wisdom attracts success. It's good company to keep, friend. Very good company. 19. My fruit is better than gold, yea, than fine gold, and my revenue than choice silver. You can't beat it. It's really good to be in the know, right? I'm talking about the real know, God's way. Do you know what wisdom will do for you? Verse 20. I lead in the way of righteousness in the midst of the paths of judgment. Man, you tuck that wisdom away in your mind, and intuitively, you, when a fork comes in the road, you know which way to take. And I'll tell you something, quite frankly, even if you choose the wrong one, if you have wisdom with you, you're not going to go in over your ankles. You know, you take a fool, they'll stumble in, fall in over their head. You know, wisdom is precious. This is a true saying. 32. Now therefore hearken unto me, who? Wisdom, O ye children, for blessed are they that keep my ways. I'll repeat that. Blessed are they that keep my ways. I could say it a different way. You know, for somebody that was a little slow, we could say, there ain't no blessings besides that way. Okay? I said, there ain't no blessings beside that way. How are you doing? Okay? And I'm not saying that to be cute. I want you to be blessed. And this is the way you are blessed. Hear instruction and be wise and refuse it not. Accept it. Blessed is the man that heareth me. Who's that again? Blessed is the man that hears wisdom. Watching daily at my gates, waiting at the post of my doors, that's seeking it, calling out, she'll come. For whoso findeth me findeth life, that's eternal life, and shall obtain favor of the Lord. Do you need a guarantee? Do you want to be favored by God? He has favors that he gives to some people that deserve it. I won't use the word favorites. But if you want to find favor, that's how you do it. I receive, I don't know how many questions. How can I get closer to God? Knowledge, wisdom of his word. When you grow closer to the word, it is God's word, so you're naturally growing closer to him. God will bless you. It is his guarantee. He has proved it over and over and over again. Don't be a sucker and be taken in by the things of the world. 36. But he that sinneth against me wrongeth his own soul, not God's. His own soul, all they that hate me love death. Why? They're going to die. They don't have eternal life. There's a big blotter that's coming out at the end of the millennium. Blot, blot. How different would this be than the teachings of Jesus Christ? Well, no different, for Christ is the living Word. And Christ Emmanuel, that is to say, God with us, has had that wisdom with him as well. So I could go to the New Testament and I could really finish this off in style. But I can go to the Old Testament and finish it off in style to the wise. Or maybe I should even say the wiser ones. So I prefer to go to Isaiah chapter 40 for the wiser ones to finish this lecture to show you there's nothing new under the sun and that wisdom does cry out to you. She makes it so easy for you to possess her that you just can't go wrong. Psalms chapter 40, all right? Psalms chapter 40. And I'm going to begin reading there. This is David, all right? But you're going to find out it's much more than David. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He heard me and he listened. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. Think of Christ's resurrection from the tomb. And he hath put a new song in my mouth. It's a song that wisdom sings, beloved. It's called understanding and common sense. Even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear, and shall trust in the Lord. They're going to love him, they're going to see the truth, and they're going to trust. Why? You can trust him. 4. Blessed is that man that maketh the Lord his trust, and respecteth not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. Hey, how do I keep from doing that? Stick with his word, not men's words. Many, O Lord, my God, are thy wonderful works which thou hast done, and thy thoughts which are to usward. Where are God's thoughts? Does he ever think of me? Your thoughts, God, which are to usward, they cannot be reckoned up in order unto thee. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. That's why wisdom is hard to absorb, because we just can't hardly hold it. There's so much, but keep trying. 6. Now, we could be reading Hebrews chapter 10, verse 6, and you would read the exact words. We could even read Hebrews chapter 10, verse 7, and read the exact words. That's why I said we could do it in the New Testament or the Old. I choose the Old. Verse 6, sacrifice, listen to me carefully, sacrifice and offering thou didst not desire. Mine ears hast thou opened. Burnt offering and sin offering hast thou not required. Do you understand now what he wants? He doesn't want that. He wants your love. Why and how did that come to pass? 7. Then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book, it is written of me. That's the words of Messiah, Jesus the Christ. He was our sacrifice for one and all times, that opened that channel of love and wisdom whereby you can enjoy and participate even today. 8. I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart, my mind. Why? You absorb it in wisdom. I have preached righteousness in the great congregation. Lo, I have not refrained my lips, O Lord, thou knowest. Christ didn't. It brought about his crucifixion. Did it frighten him? Of course not. Because he loves you, or he would not ask you for your love. I have not hid thy righteousness within my heart. I have declared thy faithfulness and thy salvation. I have not concealed thy loving kindness and thy truth from the great congregation. It's yours, beloved, and it is free. He paid the price. All you have to do is take it. It cries out to you to be taken. Knowledge, wisdom, that brings forth the blessings of God because it pleases him exceedingly. Withhold not thou thy tender mercies from me, O Lord. Let thy loving kindness and thy truth continually preserve me. What did wisdom tell you? Wisdom guaranteed you that he would share this with you. For innumerable evils have compassed me about. Mine iniquities have taken hold upon me so that I am not able to look up. That they are more than the hairs of mine head. Therefore my heart faileth me. Repentance. You've got it to step away from that and step into the light. Get your act back in shape and receive the blessings of God all over again. The sins of this world are awful, but they're petty compared to the greatness that you can have if you step into that light. And the honesty, the friendships, and the understanding. Understanding between friend and friend is wisdom. Because God directs, God guides. 13, be pleased, O Lord, to deliver me. O Lord, make haste to help me. He always will. That's His promise. Let them be ashamed and confounded together that seek after my soul to destroy it. You know who that is, beloved? It's Satan. Satan wants you, and he cries out louder many times than wisdom does. Are you going to let him have you? I trust not. I think not. For this day, choose God. Every day, choose God. Choose His Word and be blessed rather than cursed by Satan. Let them be driven backward and put to shame that wish me evil. They will be. Let them be desolate for a reward of their shame. They say unto me, ah, ah. And we say to them, uh-oh. Oh, my. Let all those that seek thee rejoice and be glad in thee. Let such as love thy salvation say continually. Now don't forget that, beloved. I'll read it again. Let all those that seek thee rejoice and be glad in thee. Let such as love thy salvation, that's Christ, say continually, the Lord be magnified. But I am poor and needy, yet the Lord thinketh upon me. Thou art my help, my deliverer. Make no tarrying, O my God. He will never leave thee, nor will he forsake thee. And I don't care how small you are, or how little you are, or how poor you are. He hears you. He leans toward you because you're his child. And he wants to use you. So what is it God wants from us? Our love and our seeking early. And his guarantee is he'll give it. Wisdom. Knowledge of God, whereby you know what this word is bringing forth, this world is bringing forth, whereby you can utilize that word to be useful to God and a servant deserving of being called servant. Otherwise, what are you? If you can't do nothing and if you don't know nothing, what in the world could you do to please Him other than just say, I love you, I love you? I'm going to tell you something. He could have made a rubber balloon that could have said that. They got a lot of these toys nowadays that you can pull a string even. Love you, rock me. You know, well, are you that? I trust not. I trust that you have a heart that beats and a mind that loves and a way in this world that draws wisdom to you as you accept her. And don't let it be a one-way ticket. Don't do that to wisdom. Wisdom doesn't want a one-way ticket. Wisdom wants to come to you and then proceed back outbound. Okay? It wants to go out in many tongues, many languages. Cool study. It wants to speak to people, those that you plant seeds with, okay? And that's what wisdom wants. Can you do that? I think so. I sure do. And I know one thing. God will love you a bunch for it. Father, we thank you, Father, for your precious word. Father, there's nothing new under the sun. And we know that it is not burnt offerings, but it is love and knowledge obtained from wisdom which comes from you, Father, has been with you from the foundation. Let it ring, Father, and be received by the ears and the minds, the eyes to see, Father, and ears to hear. In Jesus' precious name, amen.